Good evening. This is Mae Brussel on KAZU FM in Pacific Grove, California. It's broadcast number 615, September 19th, 1983. I want to begin the broadcast by apologizing for tape number 612. There was no way to know that it was defective when it went out. I did that broadcast on Monday, August 29th, and left about 7:15 the next morning to go up to Vancouver, Canada. And I was gone until the weekend when I came back and did the next broadcast. And I had no way of knowing that it was defective, and the judgment of the tape center was to send it out as is, because a lot of people wanted and expected it to arrive. And if you have one that is objectionable, if it's defective, if there's a flaw, there's something wrong with the switchboard here at KAZU. We're having trouble taking the tape from the machine, the machinery cassette, off the air. The switches are jumbled and giving us problems. And if it offends you and you want a complete clean set, I'm going to do that broadcast over for the cassettes, because they go out regularly, back broadcast, and I don't want anything in that condition. And particularly each week, it's very important to have the proper sound and the proper quality. That's tape number 612. Send it back if you want, and we'll replace it with one that I'll do over. While I was in Canada, I went up to see Johnny Meyer. He worked for the Howard Hughes Organization for 6 years, and then at the time of the Watergate, when the links of Howard Hughes to Richard Nixon's administration was falling apart, he switched sides and went to the Democrats and George McGovern and various people, offering them information of the politicians he paid off. Unfortunately, the Democrats were paid as much as the Republicans, and so they gave him the cold shoulder, and he testified before the Senate Committee on Watergate. And as a result of that, in 1974, he was framed and swept into a group of sleazy people, and there were plenty of them in the Hughes Organization, who entrapped him to a situation, and particularly a German, a Nazi, who came over to Canada, Aaron Fried Lubitsch, E-I-H-R-E-N-F-R-E-I-D, L-U-B-I-C-H. A group of people got him, it swept into a video corporation deal and took life insurance on a man, Alfred Wayne Netter. And Netter was murdered in 1974, November 74, just when the Watergate story was really unfolding. And Johnny's been charged with that murder, and he's going to be extradited from Canada to Los Angeles. I went up there to see if I could help him and took extensive notes on the early court records and so forth, and have been following this case for a long, long time. It didn't want to broadcast till I saw him. And when the Korean Air flight settles down, as do many other matters, such as Jonestown or Watergate or the assassinations of John Kennedy, Robert Kennedy, Martin Luther King, all these events get put on the shelf of history to be mangled and dissected later. When this all dies down, I'll tell you about Johnny Meyer and his contacts in Liechtenstein and the connections to the various scandals that are going on now. And his trial will be taking place in Los Angeles. As I went to the station last night, I heard on the news that Mark Rich was indicted for a $48 million tax evasion case. I guess that'll be in the newspapers soon. I was saying it was $20 million. He's the secret owner that bought 50% of 20th Century Fox from along with Marvin Davis. He bought half of the studio, and I've been following that scandal every week. So his indictment took place just yesterday, or today, rather. The broadcast 1 year ago today, we always update that. That was broadcast 563, September 20th, 1982. Last year, I was talking about the Italian extradition. They requested Licio Gelli. Dual citizenship between Switzerland and Argentina. He was caught at a Swiss bank checking out many millions, $40-60 million. I forget the exact figure because various accounts differ. But he was arrested in Switzerland and was to be sent to Italy for trial. And just the week that he was supposed to be sent, he walked out this past year out of the jail, and he's back in Argentina. Also, a year ago, there were the first links of the secret Masonic lodge that Gelli was the head of, and the Italian Banco Ambrosiano that Roberto Calvi was president of, and he was murdered in June of 82. 1 year later, there were links of the Masonic Lodge to Banco Ambrosiano, to the worldwide Nazis, to Klaus Barbie, to narcotics traffic, to gun running, and the Vatican, and all of a sudden they all came together. They've been historically linked for years, but the evidence in the court trials is, of course, bringing this closer together. Last year, the situation in Lebanon was that Mr. Begin was assisting the Jamal family to help clean out the PLO and the Syrians out of Lebanon. Jamal and Begin are part of the Grand Mufti's team. The Jamal family was selected as co-partners of the Grand Mufti, who at the time of World War II was working closely with Adolf Hitler. Begin worked with the Jamal family, the Mafia, the Nazis, all worked together in Lebanon. 1 year later, Begin has resigned. He's a broken, sad man, and the U.S. troops are escalating a war in Lebanon, opposing any factor that does not want the Christian Jamal family in power. The airline story is, of course, the number one story of the year, and I'll go right to that because many of you are interested in it. 2 weeks ago, when the Korean airline had just gone down, it went down September the 1st, I did a broadcast that next Monday, and last week I did work on the John Kennedy assassination for you. So now we have a two-week perspective to look back on that airline event. I said that it was a diversionary from our allies that are in very bad trouble. The trouble continues in the Philippines, where they object to Mr. Marcos and Ronald Reagan's visit there. There's problems in Pakistan with PIA. The Wall Street Journal this past 2 weeks have had articles on the tremendous debts of South America and Brazil as far as solidarity. And I mentioned the Polish problems there. Lech Walesa said this week, let's give it another name, go underground, have different groups. Solidarity for all purposes is dead. That was the CIA in Poland, and that didn't work. I also said it was a diversionary from 9 major investigations and lawsuits, but one of them that I put on the list, the Los Angeles Police Department defended against the American Civil Liberties Union. I'll spend the greater part of this evening talking about that. That one won't wash away, and I put that number one, numero uno, because of the Larry McDonald military and mafia connections, and that is what maybe by wiping out Larry McDonald, some of the pieces of evidence would not have to surface, or hopefully they would believe that. Mark Rich was one of the people I mentioned that listed 2 weeks ago that was under investigation. He is servicing now. None of these items that I mentioned on the air as investigations that touch Western goals and Larry McDonald ever will wash away, and there will be writers and researchers, as there are now, working on all these different facets and trying to put them together. Now, I asked the question 2 weeks ago, if it were a provocation, what would the purpose be, who would gain from it, and how would they do it? And I listed the ways the provocation takes place, and next week I'm going to go over again what I said 2 weeks ago, the 11 ways to carry this thing off if it was a United States provocation, and then give you more supporting evidence 2 weeks later to back up those items that I have on broadcast number 613. That was September the 5th. One important party that I mentioned in Colorado that I think is instrumental to triggering this great international scandal was that party in Colorado of the deposed monarchy. I refer to the deposed monarchy with Henry Kissinger that met the day before the plane actually crashed. It was the evening of the 30th, reported on September the 1st. Helmut Schmidt, Gerald Ford, Giscard d'Estaing, James Callaghan from Great Britain, Malcolm Fraser from Australia, all of them meeting at Vail, Colorado, all with common denominations to common links, rather, to the current investigations, the missing money, the Nazi connections, the narcotics, the Larry McDonald operations. And I compared their meeting to the one that was held at Murchison's home the night before John Kennedy was murdered with the orders to go ahead. That plane was held 45 minutes. Larry McDonald was on it. The other congressmen and people going to Southeast Asia or Korea were on separate airplanes. We don't know what kind of people were with Larry McDonald. If they were spies, we don't really have their names or any identification, and we probably never will know. But one of the things I mentioned about the deposed monarchs on this particular trip with Henry Kissinger in Colorado, I call that a trip because they all came from other countries to meet with Gerald Ford and Henry Kissinger. Also on the board of 20th Century Fox, where Mark Rich is now indicted, that's 50% owner of their corporation, $40 million of American taxes or $45 overseas. Now, David Emery pointed out he's a researcher, puts on the radio programs up north on two other stations. He pointed out from Covert Action of March 1982 that there was a long article about the invasion of the Seychelles Islands, and that involved our top CIA people that worked with Henry Kissinger and Gerald Ford and Michael Hoare, H-O-A-R-E, and Covert Action in March 1982 mentions the arms smuggling and the terrorists and the invasion of Seychelles starting from South Africa with the help of the Nazi and the Broderband group. And the bodyguard for Gustave Destaing, Olivier Danet, D-A-N-E-T, was one of the people involved in the Seychelles operation over in the Indian Ocean. Covert Action, March 82, mentions that the bodyguard for Valerie Giscard d'Estaing, the former premier of France, Olivier Danet, was one of the people involved in the arms smuggling and terrorism, not only in Paris, but with the Seychelles Island in 1982. This came from Covert Action, March 1982, page 7. His co-partner with that invasion over at that island in the Indian Ocean was Michael Hoare, H-O-A-R-E. And if you get Counterspy in the spring of 1976, Michael Hoare is linked with the CIA, with Richard Allen, with Henry Kissinger, with the overthrow of the Portuguese government to put in the right-wing government. He's linked with the Odessa network of Nazi Otto Skorzeny, with ITT and John McCone. See, McCone worked for Bechtel. It was Bechtel McCone, and McCone was the CIA director when Kennedy was killed. And McCone and George Shultz are very close. So that if the meeting in Madrid was to take place to discuss human rights and try to have some rapprochement with Russia and the rest of the world, Mr. Shultz, as part of the McCone-Bechtel-McCone gang and Secretary of State, walks out of the meeting and refuses to meet Gromyko. But he'll work with Michael Hoare. You see, the airline with 269 people went down. That bothers him. But I could list maybe hundreds or millions of deaths, up to several million, that these people have caused, and they don't blink an eyelash. Well, John McCone was mentioned in this article in Counterspy, and SDECE, that's the French military police, it's the counterpart of the KGB or the CIA for France, also part of the group with Michael Hoare, and this would be Olivier Danet, is Prince Borghese, B-O-R-G-E-S-E. Prince Borghese is mentioned and is very much part of Permandex, the group that were behind the assassinations in the United States, and I mentioned before Larry McDonald's role from Atlanta, Georgia, with these people in Roy Cohn, the Torbett document. If you don't have it, you should get it. It's available, I think it's $15. Research has it up in Aptos. It's reprinted from, it's a manuscript written by the lawyer who was attending the party at Murchison's when he heard the plans the night before, or allegedly had been there or was close to people who had been there when Kennedy was murdered. Prince Borghese worked with Michael Hoare, Herzogs von Valencia, H-E-R-Z-O-G-S, and the fascist group, and also with Michael Hoare, they set up the Guerrillas of Christ the King that came out of Spain, that Paladin group that I referred to on broadcast number 610 just several weeks ago, two or three weeks ago. And Hoare works with Henry Kissinger and Richard Allen, and also out of the Azores Islands where they work is a man, attorney named Edmund L. Denise, D-I-N-I-S. Denise was the district attorney at the time at Chappaquiddick when Senator Edward Kennedy had that accident off the bridge and Mary Jo Kopechne was dead. And that accident in 1969 ended the presidency, or the possibility of presidency, for Ted Kennedy running against Richard Nixon for 72. Tony Laswitz was up at that island, and Laswitz and G. Gordon Liddy and E. Howard Hunt worked together. They also worked for Permandex, and they also worked for John McCone and the CIA director when Kennedy was killed, and for Otto Skorzeny. So the district attorney of the Chappaquiddick area that smears Ted Kennedy but doesn't bring in the evidence of the conspiracy or what Laswitz is doing there except smearing him, comes together with Michael Hoare. I mention this at length because, as I say, he is a partner in the invasion of the islands, the Seychelles Islands, with Olivier Danet, who is the bodyguard of Gustave Destaing. Now, one more reference to Danet that I had on my broadcast number 610, that complicated diagram that I gave you, those of you that subscribe to the tapes, of Eliseo Gelli, Henry Kissinger, the Monte Carlo Lodge, where a gentleman was revealing the background of the Bologna bombing, the train station in Italy, where 80 were killed, and then more and then that were on top of that were killed. And the connections that I had on that broadcast were to Klaus Barbie and the Nazis and Henry Kissinger and Klaus Barbie. And there were terror groups set up by the Odessa. One was the Guerrillas of Christ, the Spain, the responsible for the bombings, as I say, in Italy. Now, these people have worked together through all kinds of violences, through the assassinations, through the organized crime syndicate. It was Ilio Cioline, C-I-O-L-I-N-I, who was arrested. He was a financier who was arrested and testified regarding the links of six people who worked with Klaus Barbie, and those in turn worked with Henry Kissinger and Gustave Destang and Gerald Ford and the whole gang. And one of those five was Olivier Danet, D-A-N-E-T. It was published in the British Guardian February 14th, 1983, by David Pallister, and it's, if you want to check it up, it's broadcast 610. So when I mentioned a high-level meeting of people involved in giving the final go on the Korean airline, that is what I mean. Now, Newsweek had a story about Reagan versus the New Right. He's disassociating himself from the New Right, but he isn't telling you how high up the Larry McDonald Western Goals board of people are. He's keeping his arms distance, but he's using Edward Teller, Admiral Moore, and Roy Cohn, who moved to Washington. Now he has headquarters in Washington as well as other areas. And this one article in Newsweek, September 19th, is a quotation of Lynn Nofziger on why Ronald Reagan is visibly staying his arm's distance away from the New Right. And Nofziger, who was his advisor and campaign manager before, said Reagan's longtime ambassador to the GOP's right wing said that he will trade backing off of the far right, the Larry McDonald Group and the Birch Society, for broader mainstream support for the controversial MX missile, for defense spending, for military aid in Central America, and a variety of other issues linked by the president to the Korean Air disaster. Well, I listed seven of the variety of issues 2 weeks ago. I now have 27 motives or varieties that he's pulled. You have to admit that this Reagan is an absolute genius. I mean, he just ties things together. He's so marvelous the way he does it. He almost deserves to have the job. He's so fantastic. But Newsweek is saying that he will use this for a variety of reasons, and hopefully next week I'll go through 27 that he's using it for so far. Many of you picked a lot of them up, like getting the nerve gas through and the MX missile and stop the nuclear freeze. How quickly it stopped the Democratic Party from talking about peace. How quickly one airplane that wasn't even analyzed or the instrument panels analyzed, they're willing to throw everything out just because this plane went down over an area that they were warned in advance they would blow it up, and they're willing to throw all of this out. Incidentally, getting back to the Korean airline and the old teams that always come in when there's a major CIA-provoked disaster, you can always gauge it. But the first attorney on the job to hired for the Korean airline problems, this is Newsweek, September 19th, is a picture of Melvin Belli. He's filed a class action suit in San Francisco on behalf of the relatives of the victims, and he's also suing Litton Industries, Litton Industries, who manufactured the jet's navigational equipment. Now, Litton Industry is, if you read The Death of Democracy, among all their other jobs, it was a conduit for overthrowing Greece and putting in the military dictatorship with Tom Pappas of the CIA and Spiro Agnew. And they were planning to kill Richard Nixon and in 1972, the Squad 19. They have been working with the far, far right for a long time. And this computerized airplane equipment, the airplane was made by Boeing, Senator Jackson's company. He was always a senator from Boeing. And the panels were made by Litton. So if the navigation was off and they go 300 miles in the Soviet Union, knowing that they're going to be off, that is a provocation that indicates something to me about how Litton would want to create the situation for getting more of the weapons. Not only is Belli into this thing, but also Richard Vagary. Vagary gave one of the speeches, the big rallies at the services. It wasn't services for Larry McDonald. It was a political right, like the Inquisition, getting their muzzles ready. Vagary was working with the mailing list of Reverend Moon. Strangely enough, the Koreans, and this is a Korean airplane, that's going to be sacrificed, and Vagary worked for Reverend Moon. He worked for Larry McDonald. He works with Roy Cohn of Western Goals and Young American for Freedom and Robert Morris, making the high frontier space stations with Mr. Daniel Graham of the Defense Intelligence Agency and Fritz Kramer. This is the old gang from Munich, Germany, that worked with E. Howard Hunt and Richard Helms and Theodore Shacklin, Edwin Wilson, and George Korkula. They are experts at letting planes go down on their own, but they could go into an area and tamper with the machinery. Richard Vagary was one of the people that was giving the eulogy, and Litton Industries is involved with the flight panels and Melvin Belli. Another interesting factor in the September 19th, 1983 Newsweek is a sentence, part of this service that was allegedly for Larry McDonald. And there's a quotation from Richard Vagary: "The problem isn't Jim Baker." That's the chief of staff for President Reagan. "The problem isn't Jim Baker," charged Richard Vagary. Vagary, V-I-G-U-E-R-E, the conservative king of direct mail campaigns. "It's Ronald Reagan." Now, Richard Vagary is the guy who has been part of the YAF, as I say, the early terrifying far-right position that whips everybody up to a tithy and takes the assassinations and murders and then really blows them out of proportion to get everybody sufficiently scared. But the point is this, that George Bush was director of the CIA, and Ronald Reagan didn't die by the bullet when Hinckley was shooting there. They didn't have a backup that time. But Baker is CIA, and George Bush holds the key to all those other scandals that I mentioned last week or 2 weeks ago on the air that I refer to all the time, such as the Nugenhand Bank, the Gerald Ford Warren Commission secrets, to John Kennedy's murder, to the various military coups that we put into power. George Bush is a very powerful man as vice president. And now they're saying, oh, Baker's okay. He was the campaign manager for George Bush. So when the Korean airline goes down, the far right is pushing Baker, which is Bush, as against Reagan. And the Knopfsiger says, we'll write off the right when they're actually using the whole list of the Western Goals people, and I've had their names on the air and on printed sheets, and you've had that before. Now, I'm going to go into the motives, the 27 so far motives that they've achieved, but I want to go further into Larry McDonald as number one investigation, because that is what I listed was the major investigation that could be diverted, and that is the one you're not getting any material about, because the story is coming out from the Los Angeles Times and the Los Angeles Herald Examiner are not wire services stories. They're not Associated Press, United Press, or Reuters. So you may correct me if I'm wrong, but tell me how many articles you have on Larry McDonald and the Los Angeles Police Department. And I want to give you the chronology of that material. Incidentally, when Mary McGrory wrote September 14th, 1983, this is, I believe, the Washington Post, it was also in U.S. newspaper, she said, Andropov is in charge, and he's done the most wonderful thing the Kremlin has vindicated. The anti-communists, the memorial service for Representative Larry McDonald of Georgia, chairman of the Birch Society, and the most conspicuous casualty, exploded with applause as the speakers rose to gloat, I told you so. They can no longer be called kooks, the Birch right-wingers, and extremists, as McDonald once was. This is a quote. Now the whole world knows that the Soviets are subhuman and barbaric. The whole world knows. Then the article goes on to say what Andropov and company have done for U.S. Hawks, the MX, the defense budget, and Ronald Reagan is beyond calculation. It seems that he's acting as chairman of Ronald Reagan's election campaign. 6 months ago, he was berated for being pictured for showing the Soviets as monsters and having a low statesman's aura. He had rage and so forth, and he made himself a martyr in the cause of moderation when this came down. But now he's dragging his feet. He's not acting the warmonger, but the Soviet Union has done more for him and his reelection. Well, maybe he did it for himself. maybe the Soviet didn't do it for Ronald Reagan. He set this up himself, knowing that if it went in that area, they would be blown away. One other article before I get to the Korean airline story and the Los Angeles Police Department and Larry McDonald. There was an obscene article in the newspapers on the profits of the Korean airline. You know, as I said, there's 27 motives, but one of the most obscene was the stocks that went up so much, the warfare stocks that were dragging this summer. This was the LA Herald, September the 12th. What the Korean airline shoot down means to defense stocks. And this is what it says. Aerospace stocks as a group hit a period of listlessness a few weeks ago as questions build up on the fate of the 1984 defense budget and the record deficit spending. The Soviets terminated the Korean Air Flight 007 and there was a rush. The dramatic news came. Within three market trading days following the news, the Korean jet had been blasted out of the sky. That's their words, blasted out of the sky. The nation's fifth largest defense contractors and the largest, Lockheed, experienced the largest gain of the group. Its stock jumped 8 points from 106 to 114. Martin Marietta was up 5 7/8. Boeing, General Dynamics, McDonnell Douglas, United Technologies grabbed 4 points each. And they have how the aerospace stocks perform since August. And they have August 30th, Rockwell, United Technology, Raytheon, Lockheed, so forth, and Boeing, out of Seattle. Okay, the stock went up. If you own stock in that company, and as they say, when it was blasted out of the sky, the market went up. Do you think there's profit in war? Of course there is profit in war. The market looks beautiful. The article goes on to say there'll never be a slowing up now of budgets for defense. Now, the Korean airline is very, very important. If people don't grasp what is happening, they're in deep trouble. It shows you how easily the mood can be galvanized by the news media to get you to react very positively against the Soviet Union, to hate those people. George Will, who the columnist from the far right, who is the fellow that coached the president so he'd be sure to win against Jimmy Carter so he could be doing what he's doing today. George Will said September 18th, "The public mind is like wax. It's easiest to shape when heated. Ronald Reagan missed his opportunity after the Korean atrocity to raise public temperature to a healthy degree." That means blood, boiling point, hate them, buy the weapons, go into debt, stockpile, sacrifice everything this country has, raise the adrenaline, hate, hate, hate. He missed his chance because, as Will said, the public mind is like wax. And boy, is it ever. It just sticks together, and these early stories are important. Now, as I said, I mentioned the number one investigation, and I want to swing to that right now on part two of this broadcast, the importance of the Los Angeles Police Department investigation. Now, I mentioned in May how the Larry McDonald Western Goals tapped into the police department and did three broadcasts on that. But I want to give the background up to May, then the story of Larry McDonald, then the crash, then what happened in the newspaper just the last 2 weeks since the crash, how the case is developing. That is a very important story, and as I say, you're not getting it anywhere else, so we better do it here. We'll take a one-minute break and come back and do that, and this is Mae Bressel, KAZU-FM, Pacific Grove, California.